The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Now, the reason I thought of that verse is because I watched that BBC documentary that they did about our church, and they cut out so much Bible. You know, because of course, I'm constantly, look, when I preach, I'm constantly using the Bible. Do a count on how many Bible verses I use in a typical sermon. Typical sermon, I probably use about 50 verses from the Bible in a typical sermon. Sometimes more, sometimes less. My sermons have pages of verses from the Bible. I know that in our film, After the Tribulation, feature-length film, that film has 91 Bible verses in it. You know, and some of them are mentioned repeatedly, but 91 different Bible verses are in that film. That's how my preaching is. That's how our church is. But isn't it funny when the media covers it and when they show excerpts of the preaching, there's never any Bible? And it just sounds like I'm just up here just ranting. I'm just up here just rattling my cage and just ranting. And just they cut out all the evidence, all the proof text, all the biblical support. Look, the Bible is the foundation. The Bible is the rock that everything is built on. They remove that, and by doing so, they think they're pulling the rug out from under us, you know. And in many ways, for the viewer, they are. For the ignorant, because the viewer is thinking, well, what gives him the right to say it? But if I was up here saying, well, here's what the Bible says, and I'm reading verses, a lot of viewers would be sitting at home thinking, well, that's what the Bible says. But it's funny how in a 44-minute documentary, they just cut out all the Bible verses, and, you know, but that was one verse that slipped in. I remember I'm sitting there watching it just minute after minute after minute as they just edit out all the Bible, edit out all the Bible, edit out all the Bible. And I guarantee, Brother Pion, I guarantee you, you quoted Bible to her and told her, hey, what I believe is based on the Bible. She made it out like you just believe it because it's what the church tells you. That's how, did you notice that? That's how they tried to make it. Like, oh, well, I just heard that sermon. And then, yeah, I was just, I just did it for her. No, he read it in the Bible. That's what sealed it for him. But they take out all the Bible. But, you know, they accidentally let that one verse sink in. Well, you know what, United Kingdom? You know what, British Broadcasting Corporation? You know what? You left in the perfect verse for you. The perfect verse. If you were only going to leave in one, you left in a good one. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God.
Amen.
Hey, at least the people who watched that documentary got a seed planted of the Word of God in their mind.
Right, right.
Well, I hope that that verse sinks down into their ears. I hope it rings in their ears. I hope that Hannah wakes up with that verse on her mind some morning while she has her tea and crumpets. I hope that that verse comes into her mind. And I hope that millions of people all over the UK think about that verse, the wicked shall be turned into hell. And all the nations that forget God. Whoops, you forgot to edit that one out when you were editing out all of the Bible proof that everything I preach is biblical.
Yeah.
Of course, those bunch of street preaching bozos preach all kinds of unbiblical things. Like where the guy said he's not even a sinner.
Yeah. Wow.
I don't sin anymore. I used to really love sinning. He's listing all the sins he used to love, but he doesn't do it anymore. Liar.
Right.
Say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And these people that say that they've not sinned, they make him a liar, and God's word is not in them. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. But these bunch of prideful, arrogant street preachers. I also thought it was funny, while I'm talking about that documentary, I thought it was funny how they ask these bunch of circus clown street preachers that they tried to lump us in with, that I wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole. They asked them, well, do you guys think you're ever really going to reach anybody with these methods? Because the obvious answer is, no, they're not going to reach anybody with their dumb methods, right? But you know what they forgot to show? Us successfully reaching thousands of people with our methods.
Yeah.
They forgot to mention that. And you say, well, maybe they didn't know about it. Well, it's funny, because the reporter from the BBC, she came with us to the Atlanta Soul Winning Marathon. Who was at the Atlanta, Georgia Soul Winning Marathon? Put up your hand if you were there. Yeah, several people from our church. Okay, Paul, I'll single you out. A lot of people were there. But you remember, she was with us for 12 hours. She did not leave our side. She was with us from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., It might even been 9:30. She was passing out at that Chipotle, like, hey, are we going to go? Are we going to be done soon at the end of the day? I mean, we kept her out for 12 and a half hours. She was with us every step of the way. She was there for hours of soul winning. She sat and watched me and listened to me give people the gospel. She saw people get saved. She filmed the whole thing. She filmed all day long. She filmed me baptizing 26 people on that soul winning marathon, right? Hey, not 1 second of that day made it in the documentary. Wow. Because it would make us look too good, and they want to make us look like we're just all hateful, and it's just that's all we do is just angry and hateful, and you know. And by the way, she was also in Sacramento and filmed that soul winning marathon. In Sacramento, California, which also resulted in huge results. You know, we had 171 people saved in Atlanta, 26 baptized. In Sacramento, hundreds of people saved, tons of people baptized. And she was there for all of it, filmed all of it. None of it made it into the film. Instead, her evangelism, she shows a bunch of clowns talking about how they don't sin anymore. I mean, these guys, look, you know what it is? This is what I told my wife. She wasn't familiar with this, but I told my wife, I said, you know what these guys are like, these street preaching weirdos? I said, it's like cow tipping. I said, that's about how spiritual and intelligent it is. It's like the same kind of people who enjoy cow tipping. Who knows what cow tipping is? Yeah, it's like that. Hey, you guys want to go out and have some fun? You know, and simple things. So they think it's fun to go out there and just basically start stuff with a bunch of freaks and start stuff and yell, hey, you're going to hell. Hey, a bunch of drunks. And I mean, they're going into graphic detail about what these sodomites do and yelling it out publicly in front of little kids and stuff, or, you know, taking it too far. And it's just like, it's literally the same type of people that just, hey, let's go out and, you know, I don't know, blow up somebody's mailbox. I mean, somebody give me an analogy. Hey, let's go cow tipping. We're looking for some thrills. What? Let's go shoot some street signs. What? Let's go teepee somebody's house. Hey, well, I don't know. When I became a man, I put away childish things. Amen. Bunch of clowns. And look, Jesus Christ had multitudes saved. John the Baptist, multitudes saved. The apostles, multitudes saved. Book of Acts, multitudes saved. Paul, multitudes saved. The Thessalonian church, multitudes saved. These guys go out and fail and fail and fail and fail. Even if you ask them, how many people did you win to the Lord? Oh, well, you know, one was close. We're going out and getting hundreds of people saved. We're starting churches all over the place. We're bringing in the converts. We're bringing in the sheaves. We're you know, but they don't want to talk about that, of course, because they have their fraud agenda. And look, don't fall into this chest-pounding, cow-tipping Christianity. I mean, people, they you know what these people have literally accused me? You just don't have the guts to go down there to the gay pride parade with us. You're too scared to go down there. Okay. You know, am I too scared to go cow-tipping with you, too? Am I too scared to go shoot at street signs with you, too? No, I'm just not an idiot. I'm just not stupid. I just don't waste my time doing stupid things. Why would I want to go down to that queer pride parade and look at a bunch of homos? You know, I'll said no wicked thing before my eyes. I thought that's what the Bible said. Who wants to go look at that? And look, if God gave them up, God gave them over, and God gave them up, according to Romans 1, I think I'm going to give them up too. I mean, look, so God can give them up, but I'm not allowed to give up. If God gave up, I'm going to give up. Look, I'm not better than God. If God can't reach them, neither can I. The Bible says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine. lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. I don't want to be rended by a bunch of AIDS-filled homos. The Bible, let me just look. The Bible calls sodomites dogs. The Bible says beware of dogs. It's not talking about animals. That's talking about sodomites. Go back to where that's brought out in the Old Testament, where that term is taught and introduced. In Deuteronomy, it uses the word sodomite and dog side by side, synonymously, in the same two verses. Does anybody know what chapter that is off the top of your head? What is it? Deuteronomy 23, 17, and 18. You know, what other church in America would somebody know that off the top of their head? I love this church. This is a cool church. I mean, hey, where's that verse where the Bible teaches sodomites are dogs? It's just like, boom. Deuteronomy 23, 17, and 18. Bam. Okay, so the Bible says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine. Don't cast your pearls before swine. Why would I just purposely seek out people that are reprobate when there's all these other people that are not reprobate, that have not been given over to a reprobate mind, to give the gospel to? I have an idea. Why don't you give the gospel to every person on this planet who's not a reprobate and then go talk to the reprobates? But you don't want to do that because that's not as fun as cow tipping. That's not as exciting enough. That's not your little adrenaline rush that you're looking for. I guess it just doesn't give you an adrenaline rush to just open the Bible to a normal person and walk them through the Romans road and win them to the Lord with being kind. That's not as exciting for you, apparently. I mean, don't even get me started. That needs a whole sermon in and of itself. I don't have time for that. So,